pastors had talked about that which is illegal and unlawful. You know, yeah. There was something going on in their life, and they remembered that. They said, yeah, and they put it to work. And I don't know, it was a week or so later, they saw the results. This morning, I want to start something. We're gonna. I don't know how far we'll go in this, but we're gonna entitle this "How to Demonstrate Satan's Defeat." How to demonstrate Satan's defeat? You know, if God if God came, sent Jesus. Let me put it that way. To destroy the works of the devil, don't you think he would want his children to walk in that?
Yes.
I think there's a lot of people that are not convinced of that. Something that you know, is such a heartbreaker is that so many Christians live such a defeated life. You know, I mean, that's a heartbreaker for any parent.
Yes.
To see their children.
Yes.
Just continually defeated and down.
Yes.
We know from the Word that Satan is not going to be. He is a defeated foe.
Yes.
Look with me in 1 John 3. We not only need to tell the world this, we need to demonstrate it by the power of the Holy Spirit and use the Word in the name of Jesus. My goodness, where can you get better tools, better weapons? 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose... Now think about this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yes. You say, well, if he destroyed the works of the devil, why are things like sickness and disease still running rampant and, you know, all these problems that I've got and no. You know, as we go on, you'll see he did that. He did do what the Word says. But, you know, you have to enforce it.
Yes.
Let me read this to you from the Amplified. Listen to this real close. The one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference and rebellion, is of the devil and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's laws from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14, this is the Amplified. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, talking about Jesus, in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil.
Glory to God. Yes,
the Spirit of God is in us to empower us to bring this demonstration to the world.
Amen.
You know, there's not enough demonstrations, not enough believers demonstrating. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, In my name, you cast out demons. So we're called to set people free.
Yes.
You know, some people have, I don't know if it's things that they have heard, things they've seen. I like something I heard Marilyn Hickey say. She said when they first started their church there in Denver, she said it was like one day it was like the granola just flooded into our church. You know what granola is? Fruits, nuts, and flakes. You know, you can see things that people do. And you go, ugh. And you get turned off. You don't want anything to do with it. But what does the Word say?
Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
If the Word says it, then we are responsible to be doers.
Yes.
We are to demonstrate Satan's defeat in our lives and the lives of others. Now, go over to John chapter 16. You know, this demonstration should be in every, listen real close, in every realm of life, physical, spiritual, financial, marital, mental,
yes,
in every phase of our activities.
That's
I want you to notice something here in the Amplified. It tells us about the purpose of the believer receiving the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 8, and when, this is in the Amplified, and when he came, or excuse me, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convince He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin, about righteousness, uprightness uprightness about sin.
No, rightness of sin.
Okay, then my computer needs to be updated. Uprightness of heart and right standing with God and about judgment. When you come on down to verses 9 through 11, it tells us the Holy Spirit will bring this demonstration about sin because they do not believe in me. That's what Jesus said. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the root, he says, about judgment. Now listen to this. About judgment, because the ruler, the prince of this world, Satan, is not going to be, he is judged and condemned and sentenced, already passed upon him. Notice very carefully that the Lord Jesus, is saying that the Holy Spirit will be in us to demonstrate, to bring demonstration about judgment, because the ruler of the world, Satan, is judged. And condemned and sentenced already is passed upon him. We're to demonstrate that. You say, but I'm not a minister. Are you a believer? Are you born again? You're a child of God. That's of more value than being a minister. Being a part of that family. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in you for the purpose of bringing that demonstration. Let's say it this way. He is eager and zealous for Jesus to be glorified. He is zealous to perform this demonstration. He'll rise up quickly. Now remember this. He'll rise up quickly to come to the aid of every believer to demonstrate to the world that Jesus has completely conquered Satan and every demonic force.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Years ago, we had a young lady that was coming to the church. And she was, I had seen introverts, but I mean, she took the cake. She won the county fair for that one. And I don't remember exactly what it was. She came up one night in a prayer line, and I don't know, it was just the Holy Ghost. I put my hands on her, and I rebuked that spirit of fear to leave her. And, I'm holding on to her head like this. And she opened her eyes and looked at me and she said, just as matter of fact, she said, it's gone. It left.
Amen.
And from that point on, she began developing. Her personality just took off. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you know, any one of his demons are bigger and badder than you. They're already defeated, and you're seated at the right hand of God with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it's a pitiful thing to see the sons and daughters of God cringing in fear, in fear of demonic power. And being overtaken by demons daily. You say, well, you know, you talk about these demons too much. Well, when they're harassing people and continually doing things in a believer's life. You know, I realize you can't see them, but I know when the name of Jesus is used and they leave and things change, it would be wonderful if we could see them run out the door. Then everybody would go, oh, glory to God, look what the Lord did. Well, his word says that that'll happen whether you see it or not. You know, I'm sure the angels in heaven weep when they see the body of Christ harassed in such manner that when the Lord Jesus died to make us more than conquerors.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I heard somebody say it this way. You know, the boxer goes into the ring and defeats the other person, and after the fight's over, they come and give him the purse. And he goes home and he turns and gives the wife the purse, the winnings. He did the fight, but she won the prize. She's the more than conqueror. Okay.
All right.
Let me give you an example. I knew a man. He had this dog named Scooter, and it was a large German Shepherd, beautiful dog, just gorgeous. And this man would go for bicycle rides, and a lot of times the dog would run along beside him. And he said that this dog would just kind of prance along next to the bike and hold his head up high and he would look at this dog and think, wow, this is a fine dog. He just seems to be fearless. Well, one day he was out riding his bike, and his dog was running along beside him, and something just kind of unusual happened. This tiny little dog came racing out of the yard towards Scooter. And this man thought, oh, watch out, little dog. One bite and you're gone. But something strange happened. This little dog kept barking just incessantly at Scooter. And even can you imagine this little tiny dog charging at this big German Shepherd? And this man thought, well, this is going to be over with pretty quick. And but this big brave dog, think about this. This big brave German Shepherd he gave up before it even got started real good. He rolled over and surrendered. You ever seen a dog do that? They'll just roll over on their back and they put their hands up. Well, that's what this big dog did. And this man thought, you know, you're not as nearly as big on the outside, on the inside as you are on the outside. You know, this is not nearly as sad as the sight to God of seeing His new creation, His family, who are the righteousness of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the mighty sons and daughters of God that are going to reign with Him, turn and run from demon powers every day. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about that in the last days, doctrines of demons will come up. And they'll rise up. You know, the devil must really laugh at thousands and thousands of Christians. They're mighty sons and daughters of God who were intimidated by a little demon. You know, if you're questioning, well, how do I know if it's a demon? You know, this is something you really need to work on. Think about the character of God. Is what you're having to deal with a part of God's character? Or is it, quote, the works of the devil, the character of the devil? I heard a monk, someone came and they were going to have lunch with this man in a monastery, and some of these monasteries, people go there and they'll stay in the monastery to earn for the monks to earn money, and it's kind of a hotel type of thing. And so he was there in this monastery, and he came to have lunch with this priest, and he said, "Would you like to pray?" And the monk looked at him and said, "I don't need to pray. There's no demons on this food." And he poo-pooed Understand that word? Poo-poo on the concept of demons. You know, in some third world nations, they are more savvy on this concept of demons than us in the sophisticated first world countries. We have become so spiritually illiterate of things in the Word because we are sophisticated. And really, the enemy has pulled the wool over our eyes and we've been taking a beating because of our ignorance. I don't want to look foolish and do this and do that. Well, then the devil will keep running over you. I'm not saying I'm looking for a demon behind every doorknob and under every bed. That's not it at all. You know, people that are continually dealing with sickness. They get over one thing and they go to another. They get over one thing and go to the other. Do you think that's the character of God? That's the nature? They're constantly dealing with some kind of a problem. I'll come down here and pick on Amanda. You know, if I'm going like that, you know, little things, maybe a little thing, but it's just constantly. What does that do? It wears you down. Harassing. You know, I mean picking like sickness or, you know, different things all the time. Because we don't see anything doing it, it doesn't dawn on us.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Moving right along. God has told us in His Word that He's given us the Holy Spirit to bring a demonstration to the world that Satan is now a defeated foe. One thing I'll say about the devil, he has the greatest PR this world has ever seen. His greatest advertising agency that... They have sold lies to us. And what's really sad, a lot of it has come across the pulpit. You know, if the devil can sell you the bill of goods about fear, you know, fear of this, fear of that, that's not God. First John 4:4, you don't need to turn there. You are of God, little children, and have, you need to tell yourself, I have overcome them because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. God has put in you world overcoming faith. If you have in you world overcoming faith and you are born of God, dear Lord, why? What do you have to be afraid of? John 16:8, 8 and verse 11. 16, verse 8 and 11. The Holy Spirit will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration that the ruler of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned and sentence already passed upon him. I heard Fred Price tell this story one time, a couple times, and he was talking about a fear that he had. His church years ago had decided they wanted to have a cruise, go on a cruise, I guess it's to the Caribbean. And the only problem Fred said he had was he was afraid of water. Afraid. And, you know, he went on and on and on about his fear of water. He didn't know how to swim. And they're going to get on a boat and go out in water that's deeper than the bathtub. And, he just went on and on about it. He knew that this ship was enormous. You know, and he told how long it was and this and that. But still, he was afraid of water. But you know, he said, you know, I'm a believer, and I should not be afraid of this. And he knew that it was irrational to be afraid of the water. I mean, they go on cruises all the time. You don't hear about cruise ships sinking. He said they're safe, you know, and then he goes on and on. But he was determined he was going to overcome this fear. He said, here I am leading this church, and I'm afraid of water. And so he said to do this, he had to do, he had to act on what the Word told him. He had to act on what the Word told him. And he said, to do that, I have to go on this cruise. He said, you know, I could send one of my associates to lead this. You know, they were going to have Bible studies and this and that and on the cruise. And he said, I can send one of my associates and he'd do a wonderful job, but I have to go. Now listen to this real closely. We are so educated today We are so educated today concerning our senses. Everything has to do with senses. He said, I didn't feel victory, but in my heart I accepted it as a fact already realized. He said, even with every outward circumstances and symptoms remained the same, but in my heart I knew I had the victory.
Glory to God.
But you know, even knowing that, you get in the circumstances and your flesh rears up. And brings fear to your senses. He said, my responsibility was to walk out of that situation. Right. Not just stay in that situation, but to walk out of it into victory.
So good.
Okay? Now, what did he do? He said he turned his back on the situations and turned to the Word.
Amen.
Let me see here. Let me see.
That's the key. Thank you, Father.
He gave more attention to the Word than he did to what the devil was trying to say to him.
Yeah.
The devil kept bringing up fear of the water, you know. And he said he turned his back on that and he gave more attention to the Word. He would respond with the Word every time the enemy would come to him and try to bring fear to him.
Amen.
He said, the more I did this, I began to see who I was in Christ. And I began to see, he said, my position of power and authority over demonic forces.
Amen, amen.
You know, God will put you into, let me back up here. The King James in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, it says this. And I tell you, this would be one, I don't do this very often, but I would say, mark that, underline it, whatever you do in your Bible to cause something to stand out. Go back and read Jonah when you get home. Read Jonah chapter 2, all of chapter 2, just that one verse. Verse 8, it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And some translations say that instead of lying vanities, they say something about idols. There's nothing in here in this chapter about idols. That has nothing to do with it. That's the translator's rendition. What is a vanity? What is a vanity? It's something that has no substance to it. They that observe lying vanities. The Word says over in Romans, I believe it is, let God be true and every man a liar. That's what he's saying basically here.
Mm-hmm.
If you read through here, you see him. He gets in faith, begins talking about seeing the temple. You know, he's repented. He has gotten in faith. And then he comes down and he says, think about this. Here's Jonah in this fish. You know, a lot of times we in our imaginations think that he can see what's going on in there. It's black. It's blacker than... It is completely pitch black. No light. And you don't know what's swimming around in there with you. You know. And he says, they that observe lying vanities... The lying vanity is, I'm still in here, but I'm in faith that I'm going to be delivered.
Amen.
That I will again see the temple.
Amen.
Think about that. And he says, they that observe lying vanities, they that are caught up with the circumstances, that it's black, and there's things nibbling at my legs and my toes. There's things in here with me. I've got seaweed wrapped around my head. But that's a lying vanity. I'm delivered. He's saying, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The mercy is on God's part. He has already prayed, got in faith about it, and the mercy, he's holding on to that. Okay, what I was going to say was this. God will put you in positions like, you know, what Fred is dealing with here. He'll put you in positions like this for you to demonstrate Satan's defeat by putting the word to work in your situation. Amen. And you acting on that word so that you overcome the fear. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. I want you to look up here. I did not say. Say, Pastor didn't say. I did not say that God will put things on you.
No, that's
right. Amen. Okay? I did not say that. I said that situations will come up and you get an opportunity to use the word. How are you going to respond? What's going to come out of your mouth? First Corinthians chapter 10. You know, we have heard all of my life in a denomination. I kept hearing this. God will bring a temptation, will put you in a temptation, a test or a trial. He'll bring things on you to test you. Hey, when you hear that day after day, Sunday after Sunday, you go away thinking, well, I guess this is something the Lord's doing. I get that? I guess this is something the Lord is doing. When a believer that loves the Lord is told things like that and something comes up, well, you don't want to fight against God because He's got a purpose in this. It's a lie.
It is a lie. That's right.
This is the Norley translation. You have had no temptation, and that word can be translated temptation, test, or trial. Okay? You have had no temptation except such as is common to men. You know, people say, well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. The Lord's trying to do this and do that. And this is a special thing that He's doing in my life. My dear brother and sister, you're not such a hot shot that God's got to do that to you. And He doesn't even do it to people like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and, you know, that's not his doing. You have had no temptation except such as common to men. And God is faithful, for He will not let the temptation let you be tempted beyond. It didn't say He brought it. That's where we have stuck our nose in there and said, well, God, no, He did not. But He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when temptation does come, He will provide a way out of it so you can come through it victoriously. Why would He put the temptation on you if He's going to bring you out? I was listening to the radio the other day, a week or so ago, and I was jumped in the car to go someplace, and I was listening to this program listening to a woman teaching, and on the Christian radio station. And I mean, she was going, oh, I thought, glory to God, this is good. And it, you know, just, and the thing went along, and then she said, in conjunction with what she was saying, using the word to come out to be victorious, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, and God put this cancer on me so that he could see what I would do with the word. I couldn't turn the thing off quick enough. And I thought, no, dear, I'm glad she came through it. I hope she came through it. She's not still dealing with it. But no, God did not. Go with me to Deuteronomy 7. You know, that can sound real spiritual. But what does the word say? Well, you know, God is sovereign. He has a purpose in doing this. My dear brother and sister, that is a lie out of the pit of hell. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the good diseases of Egypt. What? What? No, no, no. That's not what it says. It says good. It's a work of God And will put none of the evil. You know, some translations, newer translations, leave out the word evil. And that's unfortunate, because disease is evil. Period. And we'll put, where does God get evil? God is a good God. Where is he going to get evil? He doesn't have that in the warehouse. It's not a part of his character, his nature. And we'll put none of the evil diseases, let's say it like this, of the world. Egypt was a symbolic of the world. We'll put none of the evil diseases of the world which thou hast known upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee, or lay more literally, but will allow them to come upon those that hate you. Go over to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. We went to see a doctor one time. I don't remember what it was. Lydia was having a problem with something. And this guy, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I almost said something that I would have had to repent of. He says, well, maybe it's God doing something in your life, or he put this on you for something to teach you. And I thought, you know, you may be a doctor, but you're certainly not a theologian. Yeah, we hadn't been here very long, and he said that, and I thought, I started to get up and just walk out on him, but I thought, Psalms 89:34, the Lord says, my covenant will I not break. What we just read was covenant. My covenant will I not break. Now notice, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. You can bank on it. He will not change. He will not do something special because he's God to teach you something. My brother and sister, it says in John that he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us. He's given us His Word to teach us. Nowhere do I find that He gives us sickness and disease, heartache, takes a loved one. He does not do that. It's just a lie. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the words that have come out of my lips. Let me close with this. When we were down there in the ministers' conference last month, one thing that I heard over and over and over and over, in 23, make the Word of God your final authority. Make the Word of God your final authority. In other words, you're not moved by your senses, but by the Word. You put your faith in the Word. Let's see, what was it? In 23, I am free.
Yes.
I'm free in 23. And we are going to stop there. So I'll stand. Hallelujah.
Has anyone been harassed? If anyone has been harassed unusually about something.
If you're one of those that, you know, you've never thought of it quite the way I just put it, but you are being harassed by one thing after another, and you just, you know.
Not necessarily that. Not even that. I was getting not even one thing after another, but even just something. If you need help, if there's just some harassment. You know, I remember when I learned from Brother Hagin, people don't like to think about, you know, demons and all that, but anything that is not good is not a god. So if you're, if it's fear, you know, if it's of course sickness, you know, don't accept condemnation from the devil. Well, I haven't been going to church that much. I don't know if, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and let the doctors help me. You know, or these or that. Stand up. You're a child of God. I mean, let the doctors help you. We're not against doctors. But you take the word of God. You have the right. Amen. But you know, worry, fear. You know, can I share a testimony? I didn't go there. We had a ladies' meeting yesterday. It was wonderful, and time was flying. But this last week, for the first time that I remember, I was going through something. I was obtaining my victory, and the thought came to me. I've never thought that before. I just, you know, be nice to just go ahead and go with the Lord. You all know me. That's not me. Immediately I said, Jim, come here, because he was at home. Otherwise I would have done it. Come. I didn't tell him what it was. I said, but We're not allowing these, right? I said, Jim, take authority over our spirit, didn't I? You just don't let...
That's the ultimate defeat.
Yeah, don't let thoughts like that come to you. That's not God. Amen. So, you know, I'm sharing with you.
And if you don't deal with it, it'll keep coming and keep coming and get stronger.
Yeah. And you think,
How did it come to that? I'll tell you, and it went just quickly. But I was being harassed with such pain in my neck, which I've never had.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, no. No, he's my sweetheart. But I had literally such pain. And, you know, just tingling in both my arms and down to my hands. And you know, my I had done something probably that I didn't realize. And anyway, and then just something all of a sudden just came up, and it was, I told him, this is not natural. This is supernatural or the devil. And, you know, and it gone on for a little bit, and then that thought came, no! So I asked him to come and pray, and did you know, he prayed. And in the natural, nothing changed. But I knew my responsibility. I know too much. Many of you know too much, too. That I started thanking the Lord.
Now listen closely what she did.
You know, I started thanking the Lord. He prayed for me. He commanded that spirit of, I just knew by the Holy Ghost that it was what, and I told you, it was what Dr. Frame said to me that one time, because it was some of the same feelings of what I had had when I went through that viral thing. Anyway, that it was a familiar spirit. And I said, you come in agreement with me and you take authority over that familiar spirit. He did. In the natural, nothing changed. But I started thinking, the Lord is done. I told, because he asked me, how is it? And I said, and the natural hasn't changed, but that spirit's gone. Amen. You use the name of Jesus and it's gone. We have authority. You know what? He left the room, and I just went on praising the Lord. And I tell you the truth, in a matter of, I didn't count it, but in just a few minutes, every symptom disappeared. The harassment was gone. You have to stand your ground. You don't believe it when you feel it. Right. Amen? Yeah. Feelings and faith don't mix like oil and water. But you put your faith in the Word of God. So anyway.
See, she could have messed it up by saying, well, I guess it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, by saying, pray again, it didn't work. You know, let's pray one more time.
Come on, that's right.
Amen. So anyway, that's the. Have any of you been just dealing with some harassment? We want to pray for you. He's going to leave you right now. Doesn't have authority over you. Amen. So if you don't, that's fine. But otherwise, if you have gone through something like that, just come. Something like that or something similar or something of another nature, whatever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Time for victory. It belongs to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got the victory. Amen. Can I do it? Or we're going to do it together. Praise God.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that harassing spirit. I bind you and I command you to take your hands off my sister now. Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Take authority over this harassing spirit.
Yeah.
I command you to loose my sister right now.
Yeah.
Go.
The righteousness of God in Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Father, this harassment. This harassment has no right to my sister or her family. I take authority over these right now. And I demand by the authority of the name of Jesus, you leave.
Glory.
Now. Go.
Glory.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yep.
Father, in Jesus' name, we take authority over this harassment. I bind you. And I command right this minute you go. You don't have a right to this child of God. Be gone in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. You take it, amen.
You ready? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority of this harassment. And I command you to go. Take your hands off my sister and go.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Jesus Christ, I take authority over that spirit, and I command you to loose my brother. Loose him and go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go.
We're not against professionals of any type, because all they want to do is to help people. Amen. So we have respect for that. But we're telling you that as children of God, there's a lot of things that we're accepting that society has given names to, but we have authority over. Depression is not something to accept. For a child of God, you understand, that's not to put anyone under any type of condemnation, but there's a lot of things for which professionals have names and medications for. But if you will yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, He'll set you free. Amen. And that is what Pastor Jim was talking about. Amen. Glory to God. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're in this world but not of this world. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be blessed, honey. Be blessed.
Is there somebody in here you're having problems with your ears? Is there anybody? You ready? Father, I lay my hands on my brother and I speak healing to his ears. Complete hearing. No ringing. No loss of hearing. We speak health and healing to these ears now. In the name of Jesus. tears, I command them be made whole right now. Restoration of complete hearing in these ears now.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else your age, you know that.
Bless the Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise you, Father. We glorify you, Father.
Thank you.
We thank you.
Hallelujah.
For glorifying the name of Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you for what you're doing in this place, ministering to people. We thank you, Father, we're growing, we're increasing. People are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Amen.
The ministering spirits are bringing hungry people wanting more of the word.
Thank you.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We glorify you alone.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Return and greet somebody around you. You're dismissed.